Genesis 22, Genesis 22. We'll read from verses 1 through 19, verses 1 through 19. We'll read responsively. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." Verse 3, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. Verse 7, and Isaac said to his father, Abraham, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 9, when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and on top of the wood. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, Verse 17, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. Verse 19, so Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Let's pray. Let's ask God for his grace. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, this morning we come once again to your feet, Lord. Father, we see our need, our dependency, our need for a word from you. Lord, as we embark on this great chapter, we pray for your blessing upon this chapter. Lord, bless the meditation of your word. Father, teach us the truths that you desire us to learn. Father, by your Spirit, would you please apply these truths unto us? Father, would you please give us true, genuine, biblical faith? Father, please, Lord, we are all prone to wander from the God we love. Lord, unless you, by the goodness of your word, tie our hearts like a chain to yourself, Lord, we are prone to wander. So we pray, O God, that you would do such a work as we embark on this chapter. Father, teach us true faith. Please give us grace, Lord, that we would not be merely hearers, but we would have true, genuine, biblical faith, Lord. Please bless the word, Lord, as it is going to be preached, Lord. Father, please give me grace. Please help me. Please give me the thought process. Please give me the words. Lord, I pray for your people. Father, would you please touch your people? Father, would you please give them grace? Help them to be sensitive. Help them to be careful, Lord. Help them to listen to your word attentively. Help them not to listen to it as a word of man, but as your word. Please give them grace. Please build your people up so together we may glorify you, Lord. Please help us as we meditate on your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. All of us desire to please the Lord. All of us. If you are here this morning, there is only one reason you are here. You want to please the Lord. The question is, how do we please the Lord? In this chapter, as we embark on this great chapter, the narrative we just read, it closes with God speaking to Abraham. God is giving a commendation. God is approving Abraham's faith. God is indirectly saying, if you want to use New Testament words, well done, good and faithful servant. At the end of this narrative, we have these words of approval, of God's pleasure in Abraham. And if all of us want this commendation, this pleasure from God, we need to see what Abraham did here. And if we are able to replicate, if we are able to imitate, if we are able to copy Abraham, the same words will be true of us. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. This chapter, all of us might have heard many times, right? Many times all of us have heard many messages. It actually sent me into a scary situation. What can I say? New to God's people. And I believe that God had providentially arranged. I've been praying for a while on this chapter, and I believe that God has providentially arranged an incident in my life so that I can speak as if God has given a direction in what I should be preaching. I believe in providence. I know there are people who believe in mystical voices. I used to believe them once. I don't anymore. But I believe in providence. I believe that God would arrange circumstances. God would move the whole world to move his children towards his will. And I believe such an incident has happened recently in my own life. And what I speak believing that God had providentially arranged it so that I may use my experience to warn the people of God and establish the people of God in true faith. As this chapter is fully about faith, it is a demonstration, it is an evidence of true, genuine, biblical faith. We live in a very confused world. Christians especially, there is so much ignorance in the church today. Anybody says anything, people just believe it. Some of these things are so, you must be really blind to accept these things. And people believing these dumb things think they have biblical faith. They are totally confused of what biblical faith means. So this chapter teaches us what biblical faith is. If you are attendee this here today, I would request you, please come back next week too. Please come back next week too. This next week's message also would be a continuation of this, God willing. And I want to show to you what biblical faith is from Abraham's life. What is it that we must do to receive approval from God? When is God pleased with our lives? I would request you, please pay attention today, even though I'm going a little bit off. Just pay attention. And come back next week too. We see, like I said, this pinnacle, this highest point in Abraham's life in this chapter. I believe this is one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament. Abraham believed God. Through his faith, he pleased God. We read in Hebrews 11 this same incident quoted again. The chapter begins with, what is faith? The chapter begins with this definition. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Why did Abraham do the most unnatural thing? Why did Abraham do the most unreasonable thing? Why was Abraham willing to let forego of his fatherly affections and willing to slay his own son? This is true biblical faith. That's what I want to discuss this week and next week. Why was he willing to act against natural reason, natural affections? If God would appear today to you, to any of us, and say, "Slay your son," I'm not sure how many of us would do that. None will do. I can say that none will do. But Abraham was willing to do that, and God was pleased with his faith, and God was commending him. And so as we go through this chapter, there are some important principles we need to learn. These are very basic. These are very basic, but they need to be reminded. As we see, this chapter begins with, after these things. The first phrase is, after these things. You remember, Abraham was 75 years old. God called him. God told him, you must leave everything. You must leave your family. Your natural family, leave them. Go to the land I will show you, a strange land. There will not be anyone whom you know. You must go there. It's a test in itself. Abraham believed God. He survived the test, went. Soon he finds himself in a position where one of his beloved, his nephew Lot, betrays him. Lot was like a son to him. He takes the richest portion and leaves his fatherly figure and goes. Remember, Abraham had no children then. Lot was like a son to him. Time passes. God in time. He disobeys God. God gives him another son, sonly figure. His name is Ishmael. Prior to this chapter, God says, listen to your wife Sarah, get rid of Ishmael, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. God says, Isaac is the chosen one, get rid of this son, listen to your wife Sarah. Remember the incident in Genesis 17 where Abram loves his son so much, he says, bless this son. God says, I'll bless him. But we read in Genesis 20, God telling him to get rid of this son. That itself is a test. How many of us are willing, if God says, get rid of one of your child? God wouldn't do that, but if he does. But that's what Abraham did, a test. And then we come to Genesis 22, we find God saying something. A son is born to him after 25 years. And God is telling him to do something which is very unnatural. God appears, we don't know how he appeared, but here God calls him as Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am, and here's the command. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Take your son. Remember, Isaac is the only son now. He was born after 75 years, after 25, at when he was 100 years old, 25 years after God called him. We don't know what his age is at this point of time. Obviously, from this narrative, we see he reached an age of cognition, meaning he's able to understand things. He asks his father, Father, the fire is ready, the knife is ready, but where is the burnt offering? Where is the sacrificial animal? He has reached this age of cognition, able to realize things. And when this son is born after 25 years, he has reached a cognitive age, meaning 20 years. Let's just say 20 years. Let's assume 20 years. God says, now you shall take your son. What must you do to your son? Your only son? I know you love him. You love him so much. You must offer him as a burnt offering. You know, the death of the son, death of a child, is a very painful experience. Parents remember their children's death all their lives. My grandmother had 5 children. I believe she was probably 65-ish when she would always talk, I had 5 children only. She lost one when he was a teenager. But she only has 4 children now. But she, even when she was 65, she would say, she would always talk as if this son existed. The death of a son is a painful experience. That itself is a painful experience. What we see here in this narrative, it's not just losing a son. Abraham, with his own hands, must offer his son as a burnt offering. Abraham should basically take this son of his, go to this mountain that God was going to show, and God was to, and he was to obey God by slaying this son. If you look at Leviticus chapter 1, how the burnt offering is done, this sacrificial animal would be cut into pieces, it would be put on the altar, it would be burnt. Abraham, God was telling, he must do this painful thing by his own hands. And as we read the rest of the narrative, that Abraham did obey God, we read the writer of Hebrews says, By faith, Abraham offered his son and received him as a type. Right? We read that in Hebrews 11, in verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham obeyed God, in other words, in his heart. He was willing to do what God told him to do. And at the end of this narrative, we see this commendation, like I already said. I want you to focus on verse 18. At the end, God says, I am pleased with you for this reason, because you have obeyed my voice. You have obeyed my voice. The first thing we need to learn from this incident, what is biblical faith? What is true, genuine biblical faith? True, genuine biblical faith is obeying the voice of the Lord. It is listening. It is discerning to the voice of God. Now, there are many voices in this world. There is the voice of the devil. And everywhere in this world, you hear his voice. True biblical faith is able to differentiate between the voice of God and the voice of the devil. The voice of truth, the voice of error. Abram, in demonstrating his faith, obeyed the voice of God. When God gave this command to Abraham, we can assume Abraham went through this process. Should I obey the Lord? Should I not obey the Lord? The devil would have come. Come on, God's asking you to do something unreasonable. After all, God didn't mean what you are thinking. You know, you remember what he said to Eve, right, in the garden? Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? I'm sure Abram would have heard such voices. What is true biblical faith? Abram was convinced that this is the voice of the Lord. Why? Because he had previous experiences. He was able to see this is the voice of truth. He was cognizant. He was aware of the voice of God so well that the devil's voice came. He was able to push them aside and see this is the voice of God. And so he did what he did and thus was approved by God. My dear brothers and sisters, if you want to be approved by God, one of the things we need to learn is to hear the voice of God. Now, for Abraham, it was in personal experience. It was God would appear in visions and all that in this Old Testament experience. But you and I live in a different epoch of God's calendar. And we have today what we call the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. And everything that God speaks to us, His voice comes only from this. He would not speak anything contradictory to this. As Christian people, if you want to please the Lord, if you want to receive approval from God, you must be in a position like Abraham to discern the voice of God coming from the Word of God. If you don't, you will inevitably live a life that is contrary to the Word of God. In some cases, you will become victims to error. You are in danger of your soul if you do not know how to listen to the voice of God coming from the Word of God. Why do we have so many cults today? And why do we have so many people listening to these cults, faithfully following them? They are unable to discern the voice of God coming from the Word of God. They are listening to the voice of the devil, the voice of error, and committing their life to error. And they are in danger of eternal destruction, God's judgment upon their lives. If you and I want to please the Lord, we must realize this. We must know the voice of God. Unless we know the voice of God coming from the Word of God, it is not biblical faith. So many people confuse faith and fanaticism. There's a difference. Many people think fanaticism is faith. The Jewish people in the first century, they were thinking they had faith. Listen to the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 10, we read this, Paul saying this about his fellow citizens, his fellow Jews. For I bear them witness, whom? The Jewish people. I bear witness about them, for they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They have a zeal for God, but that zeal is not based on truth. You see, the difference between faith and fanaticism is this. Faith is dependent on the Word of God. Fanaticism is dependent on what we feel like, on external things other than the Word of God. You remember, the very Word of God was sitting in front of these Jewish people. Their fanaticism could not see the truth sitting before them. They were thinking they had faith. In truth, they had fanaticism because they were not able to recognize the Word of God personified sitting before them, talking to them. In fact, they were so blind that they crucified the Lord of glory. And all the time they were thinking they were having faith, they were having faith. What is true of Jewish people in the first century is true of modern 21st century. Recently we had an incident here. 2 months ago, probably, a little more than that. There was a man who attended this worship service. He sat here. All of you who are regulars here, remember that. Now, this man claims to be an apostle. He gave me his visiting card, so I took it and I did the website. I went to website and checked him. Classic example right in front of us. Too much zeal. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to do what is right. The only problem, zeal not based on truth. Zeal not based on the Word of God, not based on knowledge. does not know the voice of God. He's only one example. Many people come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, cannot recognize the voice of God and voice of error. And there is this another sort of modern sophistry, modern advancement they think. They think it's fashionable to say statements like this. And these, I'm talking about Christian preachers now. I don't care about doctrine. I don't care about teaching. All I care about is your life. And they think it is modern. They think they're doing a favor by doing this. And people go Sunday after Sunday listening to these preachers who say such things. Christian faith, truth, is built on the Word of God, which is truth. If we don't have this foundation, if we don't have this truth as the foundation for us, it cannot be biblical faith. The minute you become a Christian, you are committing yourself to truth. And this is not what I am saying. This is what Scripture says. Paul is talking to the Roman Christians. He says this of the Roman Christians in chapter 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God, you were once slaves of sin. Remember, you were sinners once. But something has happened to you. He says, this is what happened to you. You have become obedient from the heart to the standard of truth to which you were committed. Once you became a Christian, you committed yourself to what? A body of truth. A standard of teaching. And you committed your life to this teaching. And we have preachers saying, truth is not important, doctrine is not important, all you need is a moral life. Paul tells Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, chapter 6, verse 20. Paul is telling his young son in the faith, whom he is discipling, these words. Oh, Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid irreverent babble, contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. In other words, some have swerved from the truth. Guard the deposit that is entrusted to you. Timothy, remember, I gave you a body of truth. Nothing should be added to it. You guard what I have delivered to you. You be a good steward to what has been given to you. Don't go after every new thing. They say it is knowledge. Don't go after it. What you need, the body of doctrine, is already committed to you. I don't know why the apostle says it twice to the same man. You remember, Paul has to say great things to Timothy. Paul said great things of Timothy. If you read Philippians 2, he commends Timothy. He says, there is no one like Timothy. I want you to return to Philippians 2, just so that we hear from his own words. Philippians 2, verse 20. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests. Not those of Jesus Christ. But you know, Timothy, you know Timothy's proven worth. How a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. And to this man whom he regarded so highly, he would continuously say these things. Turn to 2 Timothy 1, verse 14. He just said it in 1 Timothy 6:20. He's writing another epistle. He's writing the same thing. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. He saw people around him. He saw people like Hymenaeus, He saw many people in his age. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. He saw many people around him. They were probably Timothy's contemporaries. They sat in the same church as Timothy. Paul was teaching to the same audience, and there were these people along with Timothy. These people were Hymenaeus, Alexander. He goes on to say, I'm reading verse 18. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, what did they reject? By rejecting faith, by rejecting the voice of God, by rejecting the voice of truth, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander. And he would not just say this here. In 2 Timothy, he would say the exact same thing. You remember Hymenaeus, don't you? He wandered away from the faith. Why? He was not able to see the voice of God. He was not able to hear the voice of God coming from the word of God. He made shipwreck of his faith. Why? Though he sat in the church, he could not hear the voice of God. Thus walked away from the faith. And he keeps on reminding Timothy, Timothy, remember Hymenaeus, remember Hymenaeus. He wandered away from the faith. Don't do that. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I wonder if Paul was here, what he would be saying to us. He would be saying the same thing. People of God, there are so many errors in this world. There is this, the devil, who is active. His only occupation is to distort the faith. He attacks the word of God. He always poses this question, did God really say that? People of God, children of God, you must train yourself in the word of God to hear the voice of God. That's what Paul would say this morning if he was here. Why? Because he knew in first century he had to write every letter because people of God could not see the voice of God. Why were the epistles ever written? Why were Corinthian epistles written? Why was there a disturbed church? Why was there this question that Jesus, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Because there were false teachers who went into the church and said the resurrection did not happen. And the people of God sitting every Sunday in the church agreed to that and were raising questions regarding the resurrection. The same is true of the 21st century. Just because someone comes in the name of Christ, we are willing to listen to every junk. We have no discernment. We can't recognize the voice of God. Listen to what the apostle says to the Corinthians. 2 Timothy 11, verse 2. For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. Here is the pastoral heart of this man. I betrothed you to Christ. I offered you to Christ. Verse 3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts would be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. He's saying, anyone, they bring a different gospel, you accept it. If they bring a different Jesus, you accept it. If they bring a different spirit, you accept it. You don't have the discernment. You cannot see whether it is God or it is the devil. In the same chapter. So it is no surprise, verse 16. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Verse 14. Actually, let me read from verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise that if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. I can go on, I can show you Galatians written because the people of God could not be sensitive, could not be conscientious to the voice of God. Colossians, why was it written? The people of God could not hear the voice of God. They let error into their lives. They were on shaking ground. My dear brothers and sisters, if you want to please God, you must be in a position like Abraham to discern the voice of God. If you are not there, if you don't know the truth, if you can't recognize error, you are easy prey. It does not please God whatsoever if you come to church every Sunday and not able to recognize God's voice coming from His Word. Someone asks, Brother Gautam, I want to recognize the voice of God. I have that zeal. I have that longing. I want to please God. How can I know the voice of God? I want to tell you this. It is only the Holy Spirit that can help us recognize the voice of God. And it is the same Holy Spirit who opens this word to us and explains to us this revelation, this word. Only He can give you that understanding to see the difference between truth and error, to see the difference between the voice of God and the voice of devil. It is the Holy Spirit alone that can do it. No amount of church going can do that. No amount of seminary education can do that. They are good in themselves. But they themselves cannot do it. They are supplementary, if you will. But they themselves cannot do anything. Unless you are given this enlightenment by the Spirit of God to understand God's word, you cannot discern truth and error. So what you and I should be doing, as Scripture says, is to seek the Holy Spirit's help to open up this word for us. In other words, we must ask God for a filling of His Spirit continuously. Once God gives us His Spirit, then we can begin to understand this word. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Paul is telling, how can we receive things from God? Verse 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. The Spirit of God alone can help us in this matter. John chapter 14. We read these verses in 16. I will ask the Father and He... John chapter 14 verse 16. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. And even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because it can neither see Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. You remember, the Holy Spirit is called here the Spirit of truth. Only when you have the Holy Spirit, you can see truth and error. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So you and I must continuously seek God in prayer to be filled with the Spirit to discern truth and error. Turn to John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. When the Spirit of God comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Only when you have the Spirit in your life, when you seek the Spirit of God in your life, you will be led from let's say partial truth to the full truth. We begin off as babies, but we grow until we reach maturity. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. No amount of seminary can do that. No amount of Bible reading can do that without the Spirit of God. No amount of listening to preaching can do that. These are supplemental. They are helps, but they in and themselves cannot do anything for us to help us to discern between truth and error. After seeking the Spirit continuously in our daily lives, we are to open this word. And we ought to be workmen. Do you know the Bible tells that the people who study the Word of God are workmen? Turn to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Do you know that if we want to understand truth, we must, in dependence on the Spirit of God, work. God does not give His truth to flirts. God does not give His truth to people who want to say hi, hi. He gives His truth only to people who are true workers, who are zealous, who are hungry for and thirsty for this God. Only then, reliance on the Spirit of God and sincerely working to know this truth. You see, in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus gives this parable. He talks of a man who was working in the field, and he found a treasure in the field. Immediately he covered it up. He went, he sold everything, and he came back, bought that field. Why? Because that treasure is his. He knows there is a treasure in the land. He sold everything, got that one piece of land because it had a great treasure. If you believe you want to please God, if you believe this is the greatest treasure in discerning the voice of God, what you will do is you will work. You will do everything to learn this word so that the Spirit would open this word to you so that you can discern truth and error. Lloyd-Jones says the modern Christians are the most lazy people. They have time for everything except Scripture, except the Word of God. They have time for everything. We are a people of the book, but never open the book. And we want to discern truth and error. How can we do it? Impossible. My dear brothers and sisters, I exhort you. We are a people of the book. God gave the book. If we don't open the book, if we rely on videos, if we rely on preachers, we can never discern truth and error. Open the book. If you are undisciplined like me, use a Bible reading plan. That will help you to stay focused, to study, to read the word, to work on the word of God. Do you know all previous Christians would read through the Bible in a year? It's only the last two centuries we put the Bible away. We are more reliant on media for understanding the Word of God. My dear brothers and sisters, go and read any average Christian's books from the previous centuries. Not pastors, ordinary people. They had understanding. Why? They didn't have the luxuries of media and everything. All they had is the Word of God. They would spend time in the Word of God and they would know God. Seek the Spirit. Be a workman. Try your best to read through the Bible in a year, because we need the whole counsel of God. Most Christians would open the Bible only to read Psalms. Why? Because they're comforting. Try to eat, I don't know what you like, try to eat the same thing all the time. Will you be healthy? Some of you like, let's say, chapati. Just eat chapati all the time. Morning, evening, lunch, dinner. You will soon find out that you are going to be weak. If God needed to give us only the Psalms and Proverbs, He would have given us only the Psalms and Proverbs. God saw a need that we must be whole in our outlook. That's why He gave us 66 books. God gives 66 books so that we get the whole counsel. Develop a Bible reading plan. Go through the Bible in a year. Someone says, Brother Gautam, I'm lost when I read the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Most of us are software people, so I'm going to use software illustration. When you first started learning programming, did you find it easy or did you find it hard? If you're true to yourself, you found it very hard. You found it, you would never get over it. You would never grasp the concepts. But soon, time passed, 1 year passed, 2 years passed. Now, you're let's say, 5-year-old experienced guy. Do you see the same thing now, that it's difficult? You mastered it, isn't it? Why do you think a software program you can master? Why do you think you cannot master the Bible? You can. I know it is hard work the first time. You need help. But if you want to please God, if you want to know the voice of truth and the voice of error, you must work. The second time you read it will be much easier than the first time. The third time you read it will be much easier the first and second time. and so on. It goes on. The more you read it, the more the Spirit of God is opening up the word to you. It becomes much, much, much more easier. And this never ends. As long as we are in this flesh, we will be learning the truths of God until we die. But the thing is, as we are growing in the Lord, as we are being guided into all the truth, we are able to discern the voice of error and the voice of truth, the voice of the devil, the voice of God. So my dear friends, Abraham was able. He knew it was from God. The first thing, prerequisite, if we want to please God, Abraham knew, though it is unreasonable, the command is unreasonable, it is the voice of God. He was able to see it clearly. And that led to the remaining events, which we will be discussing, God willing, next week too. Yes, the demand was unreasonable, but he did not put his own reason before God's word. The first step is to discern the voice of God. The second step in faith is to use reason properly, is to give the right order to reason. That's what we're going to look at next week. So as I close, I ask you, do you want to please God? How do you please God? Unless your life is dependent on this truth, unless this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, opens this truth to you, you cannot discern the voice of God and you cannot please God. May God give grace for all of us, that we would be workmen and we would be guided by His Spirit, that we would know His Word, we would know the whole counsel and build our lives around His counsel. May God give us grace. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord. Lord, in your love, you gave us your revelation, your word, so we can hear your voice. Father, how we are sluggish. Father, how we are lazy people. Forgive our sluggishness, O God. By your Spirit, Lord, give us the love for your word, that we would work, we would be workers, and we would work every day to know your word, and thus to know your voice when it comes to us, Lord. Please bless us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen.